This is AWOL Radio on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo Region and streaming on radiowaterloo.ca for everyone. Thank you for tuning in. For more AWOL Radio, including many past episodes, visit grandrivermc.ca. In 2017, shocking evidence of animal cruelty was video recorded at several Ontario fur farms. Exposed were the horrifying conditions mink are forced to live and die in for the fashion industry. The videos, submitted as evidence to the Ontario SPCA, show dead and injured animals with untreated open wounds, overcrowding of animal in filthy feces-encrusted cages, sludge pits of urine, maggot-infested foods, and other criminal mistreatment of animals. The OSPCA investigated the farms, but was unable to prosecute the criminal acts of these farm owners due to legal technicalities. While the videos were used in news stories across Canada and around the world, fur farm owners in Inniskillen, Ontario, are using a section of the Break and Enter Criminal Code, which states that it is illegal to be present where penned animals are kept, to have a person who took the videos charged criminally. To clarify, no property was damaged, and not even a door was opened to obtain these videos, yet this whistleblower is facing Break and Enter felony charges for exposing the cruelty of the fur farm industry. Today we are joined by activist, animal rights and liberation warrior, vegan, and target of state repression, Malcolm Klimovich. Thank you for joining us today, Malcolm.
Hey, how are you doing, Waterloo?
In May of 2018, you were arrested by the Waterloo Regional Police and charged with break and enter. Now, Malcolm, could you please share with listeners and viewers what is being alleged? What happened, and why you were asking for support for the End Fur Farming campaign and your July 5th mink trial court date?
Well, it's an epic long story, so I'll try to shorten it a bit. Basically, I got a phone call in May, almost out of the blue. A Durham Region detective requested I come down to the Waterloo Police Station to be arrested for break and enter charges. So these charges stem back some time ago. Last June, I took it upon myself as part of the End Fur Farming campaign to do a public inquiry, if you will, or an investigation, a public investigation into Ontario's fur farms. There's about 40 farms. Farm is probably not even the accurate word. We should call them fur factories because that's essentially what they are. They're just factories that resemble puppy mills. They keep usually mink and fox in these farms. The cages are very small, so the animals have essentially no room. They're often overcrowded. A few years ago, back in 2015, the Animal Liberation Front had visited a bunch of farms. They took video footage of all sorts of animal cruelty, so things like we saw images of mink with like gaping back wounds, just being denied medical treatment at a bunch of different farms. So we started this campaign. I had been meeting with different members of provincial parliament to talk to them about all the countries in Europe who have been banning fur farms and why. And I was coming to them with this footage showing them what was happening on these fur farms. And I kept getting told by the politicians, by reporters, by the police, by the OSPCA, they were all said to me, how can you prove the validity of these videos from the Animal Liberation Front? And of course I couldn't. They were taken anonymously, released on the internet. So upon suggestion from one of the MPPs, who I won't name, they said I should go on to these farms and do my own investigation and come back, and the evidence could be used with my name behind it if animal cruelty was happening. So we chose five farms at random in the summer of 2017, and I visited each one at night. I essentially just walked onto the farms with my video camera and just started filming. So this is over the course of a few months. I did farms in different regions across the province, and what I kept finding was disgusting, outrageous, and criminal animal cruelty and neglect that was happening to these animals. So it was all mink farms that I visited. The footage I took is just shocking. What I saw was terrible. I had nightmares about it. Overcrowding in the cages. So the minks had like 10 minks to a cage. There's only supposed to be one. Their food was old and rotten. It was often filled with maggots. Their cages were just lined with feces. Their urine and feces collect underneath the cage. And these pretty much cesspools that create ammonia fumes, which are pretty toxic and poisonous to these animals. They have to breathe it in 24 hours a day. While visiting these farms during the summer, you know, it just created a poison cloud that I had to breathe in. I was only at each farm for an hour or so. So you know, just being there for that short amount of time, obviously I couldn't check out every animal, but the amount of animals suffering in there is just outrageous.
Right.
And these fur factories, you're cranking out tens of thousands of animals. So this isn't like, you know, mom and pop operations. These are huge factories run by industrialists, just stealing the life from these animals. What your listeners may not realize is that farmed animals, a lot of people, you know, accept that cows, pigs, chickens are used for food. Obviously, as a vegan, I don't agree with that, but most people can agree that, you know, killing animals and destroying an animal's entire life for frivolous clothing decoration, you know, is not really justified, even when there's fake fur these days. So we're seeing a lot of the huge fashion designers like Michael Kors, I think it was Gucci, and, you know, the biggest ones are dropping fur right this year like flies. I know Pamela Anderson, she's a huge animal rights advocate. She was sending like a fake fur coat to Kim Kardashian to get her to stop wearing fur, this kind of stuff. So just outrageous cruelty. I think I got a bit off topic here.
It's obviously all linked because the cruelty that was in these videos and that was documented by Elf in their videos and really has been documented around the world at similar operations. It is cruelty, and in this case, it's against the law.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so back to the campaign here. So I took these videos, and I waited a while to release them, a few months. I didn't want to release them right away. Some activists had been doing this over in Europe. So I know in Norway, they made a documentary called Inside Fur, which all the listeners should check out if possible. Basically, these activists were just going onto hundreds of fur farms and just documenting the animal cruelty. And they made this documentary, and it was released, got huge publicity in Norway and across Europe. I know the Norwegian parliament had watched the documentary and debated it, and eventually, from this documentary, they just passed a ban on fur farming. So it's illegal now, or will be illegal soon in Norway. They're going to shut down 280 farms. So Ontario only has 40. You know, it's doable here. Most Canadians, when you ask them, even polls have been done, people don't support these fur factories and they want them shut down. It's embarrassing. A lot of people don't know that they're happening right in their own neighborhoods, and they find out they're enraged. So back to the release of these videos, I decided to release them online. I had reached out to a bunch of reporters and news agencies, and I did one a day. I released a video from each farm. So throughout the week, back in January, people were able to see, you know, what these fur factories are trying to hide from the public. You know, they say if slaughterhouses had glass walls, everybody would go vegetarian or vegan. I was trying to do that with the fur industry here. You know, big fur is keeping these animals for profit, essentially destroying their lives. And I had done a lot of research before doing this. Like, I had pretty much burned out every legal channel of complaints. I met with MPPs. I'd reached out to the OSPCA, who, you know, they said they couldn't do anything about it. Other politicians, even the police, everybody was saying, you know, we can't do anything about it. So I thought the only course of action left for myself to bring this to light was to take these videos and really expose what's going on these farms. You know, I'm just a guy. I thought I was doing what I thought was right for these animals. And now, you know, the one farm wants to press charges against me for break and enter. They want to put me in jail. I think the charge hold, you go to jail for 2 years. You know, I'm facing 2 years in prison for essentially walking on to a fur factory and just filming. Some people have said what I've done is citizen journalism. Our slogan for my court appearance, we're having a rally on July 5th at my first court date in Oshawa. Our slogan is courage in the face of cruelty, courage in the face of censorship. So you can imagine the implications for somebody that's trying to expose basically the criminal acts these fur factory operators are perpetuating against animals. What I filmed was clearly illegal. You know, they had animals, this one particular farm that's charging me, their baby minks were having their food mixed with feces and urine, and they were sleeping in these like sludge puddles and stuff with other dead and injured animals in there. That's clearly illegal. I'm just trying to, you know, I brought the video evidence. I took all the videos I took. I gave them to the OSPCA. They interviewed me. And, you know, I asked them months later, I'm like, did anything come of this? You know, their answer is it's none of your business because the OSPCA is basically a private charity who is unaccountable to anybody. You can't do a Freedom of Information Act request on anything they do, and they receive, you know, private funding and stuff like that. So it's totally outrageous.
So you've documented obviously criminal cruelty and neglect and abuse of animals. And the OSPCA has decided not to charge these
yeah, they haven't,
fur farms?
I don't think they have charged. They haven't made public that they're charging any of them. They said they were conducting an investigation, but then nobody's heard anything from them since, which is typically the case with the OSPCA. Hmm. People lay complaints, and then you're, as a member of the public, you never know what they do. So there's really no accountability. There's no transparency with the organization. Basically, these videos have been out in the world. They've been covered by many news outlets. Right. I know PETA did an expose on the videos that I shot. It was released in, I think, 7 different languages all over the world. So it's become an international problem for Ontario and Canada. Like, it's an embarrassment that, you know, the government doesn't do any inspections on these fur farms. So I've reached out to the Ministry of Agriculture. I talked to the minister's staff. Pretty much no government agency has stepped foot on the farms to investigate or, like, even do a checkup or anything. The industry is self-regulated. So these fur factories are in charge of their own welfare standards. They have a national farm animal care code of practice, which I showed to be violated on each of these farms.
Right.
So they're breaking the law. They're violating their own codes. You know, these animals are suffering at the hands of criminals, and the government's not doing anything about it. The OSPCA is not doing anything about it. And, you know, it's just sickening and disgusting for me to know, you know, and others to know that this is happening in Ontario to these animals.
And obviously you're not looking for tighter regulations.
No, I'm not looking for tighter regulations. I know some other animal groups are welfare advocates, but our campaign is advocating for a complete ban on these fur factories or fur farming. You know, it's been banned in many other countries, and one of the main reasons why is that animals like mink and foxes, they're not domesticated. So they're not the same as a pig or a cow or a sheep or a chicken. They don't have the same traits of docility, so you can't even handle them without the use of thick gloves because they attack people, right? They're predatory animals. I know minks in the wild, they have to swim. They're aquatic. Their feet are actually webbed, so they're supposed to be in the water about 60% of the time. So you can imagine the frustration and the psychological torture they go through from being restricted basic, natural, instinctive behaviors like swimming or even burrowing for foxes. These animals stand on wire cages 24 hours a day. On top of this frustration, just the captivity alone causes what's equivalent to like mental or psychological torture. So we see the stereotypic behavior that you see in animals in captivity, such as zoos. They pace back and forth. They self-mutilate. They have nothing to do in their cages either. The industry is supposed to at least give them an object to manipulate called an enrichment. So some of them have golf balls in them, but most of the farms I went to didn't. And the farm that I did go to that did have the enrichments, the animals were exhibiting more stereotypical behavior than I saw at the other farms. So that's proof to me that these enrichments don't work. These animals are suffering. And, you know, even if there was a purpose, which there isn't, it's just disgusting, right?
Yeah. No, those videos are, people should be watching them and should be outraged about the kind of conditions the animals are being held in, kept in. Now, day one of hashtag mink trial is in Oshawa. It's on July 5th. What are you expecting to happen in court and in terms of support for that?
So this will be my first court appearance. I expect they'll give me a disclosure with all the evidence to use against me. So it's not going to be a huge show for everybody, but it will be a huge show for the media and for the public in that town. Oshawa is a relatively small city, so we're going to bring about 60 activists down there. We're going to have a lot of signage and banners, maybe get some people to tape their mouths shut to show that the government and the police are trying to gag what I'm doing and trying to keep out of sight what's happening to these animals. You know, the fur factories, you know, I've exposed what's going on behind their doors. Now they want them slammed shut again.
Right.
I'm just hoping that this draws more media attention to the issue, and I would like to see some politicians get on board with supporting a fur farm ban. A lot of politicians who we've met with last year all over the province say they support a ban, but they're unwilling to act on it because, you know, fur farming is not a huge issue for most people. It does bring in some money, but it's money based on you know, the misery and suffering of animals. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine if, like, dogs or cats were kept in the same conditions.
Well, we're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, we're not. Well, you'd think so, but one of the farms I actually came across, it was attached to a puppy mill. So they had mink there, but they also had dogs in similar conditions. And rabbits too, even smaller cages. So this particular farmer was torturing all sorts of different species of animals, making them live essentially in their own feces. You know, it's really disheartening to learn that the OSPCA can't do anything about it.
That is,
or won't.
Or won't, right? Yeah, I would like to see the like justification or clarification on why the OSPCA won't be taking action on documented cruelty and abuse.
Well, that's something we'll never ever know, because you can't Freedom of Information Act request them, and they won't tell you.
The court date in July 5th. There's some action on Facebook for rides to get there. If you're from Niagara and Hamilton, people are organizing, and things are linked on the End Fur Farming Facebook group for that. And there's also a GoFundMe campaign, because this is costing money. Obviously, this is a criminal trial. You're facing significant imprisonment. How can people support you, either going to the events or through, like, financially?
Yeah, definitely. If you can make it out to Oshawa for my court appearance, I would really appreciate that, and so would the animals, just to get more attention to this tragic thing that's happening across our province here. We can definitely get you a ride there if you reach out on Facebook. If you can go to my GoFundMe account, which is also on the End Fur Farming Facebook page, even if you only have a couple bucks, it would be appreciated. You know, legal fees build up pretty quickly. These lawyers cost, hundreds of thousands of dollars, or hundreds and thousands of dollars, I should say. Hopefully it doesn't get to that.
Get to the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, it does depend, really, how long this is dragged on. I'm hoping, they throw it out, or, the prosecutor might realize that they don't have a case to stand on here. They're basically charging me with a break and enter. Under the law, I talked with my lawyer there, so you have to commit another indictable offense, mm-hmm. with a break and enter, but I did nothing like that. I basically just walked onto these fur factories and filmed. And, right. If that's a crime, trying to expose animal cruelty and, deliver evidence to the police body that prosecutes criminals, that's outrageous. I don't think the public will stand for it.
Yeah, and I hope there can be. I hope this court case itself will highlight this case more. If this was, a newsroom that did this, it would be an undercover journalist investigation. And they're just claiming that you've broken a law.
Yeah, so you can imagine, anybody that's a reporter should be outraged by mm-hmm. the censorship that's happening here. I basically try to expose a problem with the government and a problem within the fur industry. There's no oversight, there's no regulation. I've taken evidence and I've given it to everybody that counts, and nothing's happening, and it's just a huge miscarriage of justice at this point. I got the short end of the stick, and they're trying to make me pay for exposing the lies of the fur industry.
More on this story, check out the facebook.com/endfurfarming. There's also, of course, endfurfarming.com, where all the videos are available.
Yep.
that have been shot. I mean, this continues on. The exposés of these fur farms. Just in May, Last Chance for Animals released video and photo evidence from an undercover investigation documenting disturbing accounts of animal neglect at a Milbank fur farm at Milbank Fur Farm Limited. The investigation, which began in 2017 and spanned the course of a year, is the first in-depth undercover probe of a fur farm that produces pelts for the Canadian fur industry. In Canada, more than 3 million animals are killed annually for their fur. Check out lcanimal.org for this. And this is a tough video to watch. What's exposed here and what is shown here, yeah, it's horrifying. The conditions these are kept under, and we're saying this is a self-regulated industry. I don't know if you've had a chance to view this particular article on from Last Chance for Animals. If these are the things that have been revealed, and you're the one being charged.
Think of this other organization. They were essentially doing an investigation at the same time, separate and alongside what I was doing. I think because they had an undercover employee there working and filming for months and months, the OSPCA and the police probably saw it as more legitimate. Hmm. There are some issues surrounding the illegality of the footage that I took, which may have been one reason why they didn't prosecute these fur factory owners. But I will say, yeah, that footage was awful. We actually did a protest outside that farm last year. We had a bunch of people from the Guelph Students for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or GSETA, came down. We protested at that farm. What a lot of people don't know is that that farm actually works very closely with the University of Guelph to do mink research there. So they test out enrichments, which is essentially sticking a golf ball in a cage to see if the animals suffer less. I don't think minks play golf, but you know, this is outrageous. And they receive public grants to do this. So your tax money is going to pay for this fur factory that's been exposed. You know, they have 14 counts of animal cruelty against them. The images, so your listeners can understand what we saw, you know, their head, the mink's heads are rotting off. Their eye sockets are hanging out. They're not being given medical treatment. They even have one of the undercover operative there. He's talking to one of the other workers, and he says, "Don't you think we should get the medicine? We should do something for them." And they said, "Nah," you know, and they just let them rot in their cages there. And, you know, the fur industry always tries to spin fur as being green, eco-friendly, and environmentally friendly. It's lies, basically. So we know that the animal cruelty aspect, that's always there with animal use in any industry, even if it's food or other stuff. Right. Especially egregious in this fur farm industry or fur factory industry. One thing people don't consider, though, is the environmental impact these mink farms and fur farms have on the ecosystem and the wildlife and our watersheds. So I'll highlight and really bring that home how much impact these fur factories have. Back in 2014, there was an inquest by the David Suzuki Foundation and other foundations in Nova Scotia, which has the highest amount of mink farms in the country. They found that the industry had actually destroyed several watersheds there. So that means neighbors, community members, anybody living near these mink factories, they basically couldn't use the water anymore. You couldn't use it to drink. You couldn't swim in it. You couldn't give it to, I don't like the word livestock, but you couldn't give it to farmed animals. Basically, they destroyed a bunch of watersheds just so that some rich idiot could wear a dumb coat, basically, right? And the industry is losing money. And to the tune of $20 million, the federal and provincial governments bailed out the industry. With the inquest from the David Suzuki Foundation and other political leaders there, it led to the first Fur Farm Act passed in that province there. So the act is supposed to regulate the environmental impact now. So there has to be more standards for environmental assessment. But as we know from Europe, where they're banning these practices, you know, fur is not needed. It's not necessary. You can't even argue that it's being used for food like these other industries. It should be an industry that's abolished. It shouldn't be here. People don't need to wear it. We don't really don't need to be subsidizing it with our tax money. Would you spend $20 million to give to these fur factory operators?
Right. $20 million could do a lot, basically, a lot better.
Yeah, it's basically nonsensical. Think of how many hospital programs you could run, how many kids could be educated and fed for $20 million, and they're giving it to basically give subsistence to these industries that are just torturing animals to death, not even giving them medical treatment. Like.
Or training for the workers. You know, yeah. Alternative training so the workers don't have to end up being in these situations where they're working on these mink farms.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing I'll factories. Say too. Yeah, the people that work on these farms, you know, they're not making a lot of money. It's not a job that somebody can be proud of. It's not a job where somebody's going to, you know, make a living off of full time. Basically, these fur factory owners are just, you know, rich bigwigs. They're screwing the workers over. They're screwing the animals over. They're screwing the environment over, and you're paying for it. So a lot of people, you know, when they realize this, they get mad, and they start coming out to our demonstrations. They start signing our petitions. People have gone to see the members of provincial parliament about it, and nobody seems to be listening. So thanks again for having me on the radio today to get the word out and raise the alarm against these fur factories that are just torturing animals to death for nothing.
It is shocking, and thanks for joining us today. You mentioned Europe in there, how there's sweeping changes in Europe happening over the last few years where ban upon ban is happening. Luxembourg, for instance, just passed a ban on fur farming, including mink farms. It was like earlier this week.
Yeah, the middle of the week.
Right.
They don't have farms there, but there will never be a farm there now because of this legislation. It's preventative.
Preventative legislation, and you're saying, you know, multiple hundreds of farms in Norway going to be shut down.
Yep.
And I'm guessing it's not just, you know, 20 or 30 farms in other countries. It's like...
Yeah, there's a significant amount of fur being exported from Europe. I don't know if you know this, but in San Francisco, they just passed a ban on selling fur. I wanted to get your take. What do you think of that? You seemed surprised when I said that. Like, you can't sell it in a retail store anymore. It's illegal now.
Wow. That's
as of a couple months ago.
I mean, it is surprising that people would take that step in this capitalism, in this world that we're in this culture that we're in. I can see legal actions being taken against the city for it by the fur industry. You know, right down to like transnational trade agreements, NAFTA Chapter 11. You know, you can't ban my products.
That could be, yeah, they're trying to fight it in the courts right now. They're trying to bash it in the media, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's the elected officials, it's the activists, community leaders have all come together and, you know, took a stand against animal cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people know what goes on in these fur factories. These animals are suffering for nothing. And, you know, making fur illegal is just a step, right? We wouldn't sell, you know, human body parts and stuff like that.
Right.
Human skin. No, that makes a lot of sense. But.
Makes sense. San Francisco would be among the first.
Yeah. And you can imagine, like, San Francisco is not a small city. It's one of the largest cities in the U.S. And, you know, even just selling fur is legal. So you can imagine these fur factories. Like, why do we need them if you can't even sell fur? I think we're going to see a trend of these fur retail bans start to happen. They're already advocating for it in the United Kingdom. I think it will pass eventually. They're very, like, Europe's way ahead of the game on, you know, people liking animals over there. They like them more than they like them here. As in, they have better protections for animals.
Yeah, and more information on, of course, all of this, endfurfarming.com, to extend on this conversation, because there's one counterpoint I'll bring in, perhaps, is subsistence hunting. Seal pelts specifically, keeping indigenous Inuit so they can continue to live in their homes, to continue to live in their cultures, continue to work. I can see bans like no fur impacting that directly. If I can see more of an impact if Canadian cities put no fur bans, because I mean it's not a huge market, the seal skin industry, especially the indigenous operated seal skin industry, but it is like a so-called cottage economy, where people do make enough money to continue to be able to live without needing to jump full scale into the larger capitalist economy, into resource extraction or something or needing to leave their homes and leave their families and leave their cultures. So I guess that would be my one pushback. What about the impact on indigenous rights to continue their actions?
That's a very poignant question. Like, it's one that needs to be asked and discussed. There's a lot of misinformation surrounding this subject. I am in by no means an expert on this issue, but I have come across it before, obviously, advocating for animal rights. It's a sensitive issue for many people. From my understanding, the seal hunt is comprised mostly of commercial hunting.
Yeah.
So that it's a very small fraction. I think it's less than like 3% comes from natives, right? I know Europe has a ban on the import of seal products. I think other countries do as well. You know, basically, you know, people need to subsist if they can, I guess. I'm against all animal cruelty. Most people don't need seal products, though. People like to bring it up a lot. I feel that, especially in the media, it's spun as that it's an attack on native culture, attack on subsistence living. But, you know, you can imagine if the amount of animals being killed are just going through the commercial industry, which they are, 95% upwards.
Right.
It's just a media spin, right? From my perspective, you know, when I see these images of people coming out onto the ice and beating animals to death, it's something that I find, and you know, many other people and countries find hard to support. It's very shameful on the world stage that people, you know, they look to Canada, and you know, they see these images constantly of baby animals being beaten to death, covered in blood. That's something most people don't find acceptable. I don't know if I can speak on that issue more, but that's what I see, right? One other thing your viewer or your listeners might find interesting is there's an act called the Seal Protection Act. I think it's a federal law. And what do you think? What do you think that means, first of all, Seal Protection Act?
If you're saying the Seal Protection Act, you would think it would be about protecting seals. You think it would probably even be eliminating the ability to hunt them.
All right, I'll cut you off there because you're going down the wrong road. So the Seal Protection Act just says it's illegal to film people killing seals on the ice. So if you get within a certain distance, you go to jail, pretty much. That's the Seal Protection Act in Canada. So you can imagine how much protection these animals get, gurgling in pools of their own blood so that somebody can wear a furry hat. I hope you like your hat if you're listening to this and wearing some seal fur. Think about that.
I mean, I didn't actually think it would be that.
It's kind of morbid.
I know I didn't think it would actually be anything about protecting seals, because, I mean, that is a state mechanism, you know, basically using doublespeak.
That happens newspeak. A lot.
Yeah. Ask that question? That was my other that was my thought on it.
Before we get real far off this topic, mm-hmm. I'm going to just make a plug here. So that investigation they did at the Milbank Fur Farm near Guelph.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 14 charges pressed against the fur factory owners there. They're coming to Guelph on July 18th to face trial, so we're actually going to have a rally in front of the courthouse downtown at 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. So if anybody's listening and they're in the Guelph area that day, please come out and join us. We're just going to call these fur farm owners out for basically torturing animals to death. We want the community to know who they are and why people should be against what they're doing.
Yeah, I assume names will come out at that point and people can understand who is doing. Because it is like, these are your family, perhaps. These are your neighbors or people that you know.
Yeah. There's students from the University of Guelph that work at this fur factory as well. Hmm. One of the professors headlining the research there, her name is Georgia Mason. So if anybody's at the University of Guelph listening, just think about that.
Yeah, no, that's important information, because there is people are responsible for these things, and their minds can be changed when they're presented with things like this, like videos like this. How can they justify continuing like relationships like that?
Yeah, one thing I'll say to the listeners too is sometimes whatever problem it may be, some social injustice, right? If it's these fur farms, or if it's some other oppression, the industry can seem daunting at times. It can seem crushing. Seems like they have a lot of power, but you got to remember these industries are run by people, and they have names, they got addresses, and you can go talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure. And again, more information on all this on endfurfarming.com and on Facebook, endfurfarming. Now, you are also involved with the Kitchener Ontario Animal Liberation Alliance, or COALA. Can you tell me a little more about what the group does and how people can participate in what COALA does?
Basically, the Kitchener Ontario Animal Liberation Alliance has been around for about 6 years. We're just a network of people across the Grand River region here who get together on projects to promote animal liberation, animal rights, and veganism. So the next event we have coming up is we're doing a dinner meetup at A&W, July 9th. So we're going to meet around 6:30 or something. We're just going to try out the Beyond Burger, which is a new vegan patty that's being launched at A&W. So we're going to go there and discuss that a bit. There's been a lot of debate surrounding, supporting a chain restaurant. You said you had something you wanted to say. Sure. About
well,
that.
Yeah, just in terms of like supporting these corporations when they do something vegan, even though they're not shifting to being vegan. They're just adding a vegan option to their menu. I've seen over the years on Facebook you celebrate those things, and why do you think it's important to celebrate those steps?
Basically the plight of animals is so bad. If anybody had seen footage of a factory farm from groups like Mercy for Animals, you can see the horrible, horrible animal cruelty that happens to animals like cows, pigs, and chickens. They have these Franken animals that are like genetically modified. They live in terrible conditions. It's just disgusting, right? So, like anything, I feel that anything that moves away from that, to where we're treating animals like living, breathing, thinking creatures, and not like a machine at the will of capitalism and the interests of evil profiteering people, is a step in the right direction. And I think, which is contentious within the vegan animal rights movement, is that these larger corporations incorporating vegan products into their chains, their clothing lines, their food selections, it's a step in the right direction. And I think it really helps normalize and popularize and gives increased accessibility to veganism and animal-friendly products, right? So you can imagine, for example, Ben & Jerry's this year, last year, they came out with a bunch of vegan flavors. They're non-dairy ice cream. They're fully vegan. Obviously, the company also exploits cows to a massive extent, which I'm against. But, you know, I'm not buying the cow product. So it's a kind of vote with your dollar, which I don't think is going to be the way to end animal exploitation, but it's a step in the right direction.
Showing them they can profit off of cruelty.
Yeah, and you can imagine that, you know, when I became vegan about 5 years ago or so, they didn't even really have vegan cheeses that melted or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I've watched in the last like half a decade just the explosion of like vegan foods. So for example, like Pizza Nova, a bunch of like huge chains got vegan cheeses for their pizzas now. Wow. I know this year, just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Breyers and Haagen-Dazs is vegan ice cream now. So this is huge because you can imagine walking into the grocery store about 5 years ago, people don't have these options. You can't get a vegan pizza. You can't get vegan cheese. You can't have the ice cream you want. And now it's all available. So it's in direct competition with animal exploitation industries. So you can go into the grocery store now, get what you want for relatively the same price, and you can be an ethical consumer. You know, maybe you don't want to be a consumer, but like if, for the average person, you know, we're not all radical people. Most people are just trying to live their life. You know, they want to pay the bills, feed the kids. And if you can feed your kids, you know, vegan food and it's accessible, you can grab and go. And, you know, that's going to save an animal's life at the end of the day. And I'm always for saving animals' lives.
Awesome.
Now, Malcolm, it's not just animal liberation, animal rights work that you do, activism that you do. You've taken part in many different campaigns. Anti-poverty work, you know, you've worked on anti-pipeline issues. Why do you feel it's important to look at activism in an intersectional way and take on, you know, not just the single causes, but looking at it more systemically?
Well, basically, there's a lot of people and animals out there getting screwed over by a lot of, you know, profiteering jerk-offs. I'm part of the community, and, you know, strike against my neighbor is a strike against me, I would say. When I look around and I see people, you know, not are getting screwed over by their landlords, getting screwed over by their bosses or the government trying to destroy the environment and pollute stuff, like it affects me, right? It's my drinking water, you know, it's air that I gotta breathe. It's, you know, my neighbor's kids coming, they don't got no Christmas presents, that kind of stuff, because, you know, their job's screwing them over. The oppression affects everybody. I'm in a very lucky position where I have the time and the ability to go out and attend demonstrations. I have time to organize stuff and work with these other groups. Intersectionality is huge, right? We're all part of a community, and we should all be out helping each other. I know a lot of vegans and a lot of animal rights activists. Maybe I shouldn't say a lot. There's a contingency of the movement that's very misanthropic. So they really kind of despise humanity, I think, for the way that generally they treat animals. And they say, you know, we don't have to worry about human suffering because it's nothing compared to animal suffering, right? Animals are in cages, like, bleeding. We're killing them for nothing pretty much most of the time. And I agree with that to some extent, but, you know, if we want to get people interested in the animal rights movement, interested in veganism and helping animals, and you know, groups of people are facing their own oppression, us telling them that their oppressions don't matter is not going to help draw people into our movement, basically. So, you know, when I see people say, I don't care about the problems of groups, you know, like Black Lives Matter or whoever it may be, you know, I always try to stand up for these groups and say, you know, it's important. Because if you're somebody that's facing your own oppression, maybe you don't have time to advocate for animals or even think about it that much. And when, you know, people from the animal rights movement kind of shit on you, then you have no respect for them. Why you want to go out of your way and help? So I feel like we should be inclusive to everybody. We should be concerned about, you know, our neighbor's problems as well as animal problems. We're all earthlings and we all need help. And anybody that can help should help, I think.
Now, one more time, how can people get in touch with the campaign? And how can they support you? And how can they contact or look at what's happening with Koala?
So Koala is the Kitchener, Ontario Animal Liberation Alliance. We have a Facebook page you can check out there. We post events from time to time. Check out endfurfarming.com to see all the videos that were recorded at the fur factories. And we also have a Facebook page for End Fur Farming where you can find my GoFundMe and the information to attend court appearance on July 5th. So check out those websites for sure.
Awesome, man. And check out if you're following on Twitter on July 5th, it's hashtag MinkTrial. And check that out as we go forward.
Oh, wait, one more plug. July 7th coming up is the first Veg Food Fest in Kitchener. So any listeners that are still listening here, you know, go check that out, get some good food. I know the city of Kitchener has spent a ton of money working with a bunch of animal rights and vegan groups to make this a great family fun event. So, you know, if you're not into veganism and all that stuff, you know, go give it a shot. Go try the food and you might be surprised how fun and easy it is, you know, to get away from animal exploitation and to eat good food and feel good about yourself. It's just, you know, I would say it's more of an evolution, right? You know, people like animals. They're sure they're going to have all sorts of fake meats and plant-powered cheeses and that kind of stuff. It's way more healthy and, you know, healthier for the animals.
This is AWOL Radio on CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo Region and streaming on radiowaterloo.ca for everyone. Thank you for tuning in. For more AWOL Radio, including many past episodes, visit grandrivermc.ca.